Good evening, everyone. Let's go before the Lord forward with a word of prayer. Our Father, we come in the name and by the blood of Jesus. Lord, we do thank you for how you have blessed us already through this day, and we thank you for the privilege of being able to come together for this time of fellowship, this time of learning, this time of worship. And Lord, I give myself to you. I pray for fresh anointing for tonight as I share your word. And I pray that the ears and hearts of your people would be open to hear and to understand. We give you thanks, glory, praise, now and forever. In Jesus' name, amen. We want to take this opportunity to welcome you to the Foundations class tonight. The series is about that which New Life Family Ministry is built upon and stands upon. In the book of Psalms 11, verse 3, the scripture says that if the foundations are destroyed, what shall the righteous do? In all of our lives, we need to be everything that we build needs to be built on a solid foundation. And with the things that are happening in the world right now, your faith is probably going to be challenged many times and in many ways. And it's very important that you are built on a solid foundation, that you know not only what you believe, but why you believe what you believe. I take it that everyone has had an opportunity to read the letter from Pastor Roy. And also we have our statement of faith, what we believe here at New Life Family Ministries. And if you haven't already, you can take time to read that. These lessons will elaborate as to why we believe these things. This is the statement of faith is what we believe, and we'll be in these weeks elaborating on why we believe that. Next, we have the vision. The scripture says that where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint. Another version says the people perish. And so we are thankful that God has given us a vision here at New Life Family Ministry. This is our purpose. And that vision is, number one, to win the lost to and for our Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, to proclaim the kingdom of God. Number three, to disciple the saved through religion. Number four, to provide a place of worship and fellowship. Number five, to build strong family units. Number six, to meet the needs of others as led by God. And number seven, to train Christians for their part in the ministry. Every one of us has a specific part that God has not only saved, but he has called us to. And so that is a part of our vision here to help you to learn, if you don't already know, what your part is and how to best walk that out. All right. As we go through this tonight, we do want it to be interactive. If you have questions as we go along, if there's something that's said that you don't understand, I want you to feel free to ask the question, but I want you to understand also that some of them will be answered as we go along. And so if it is something that's going to be discussed in the lesson, I will let you know that. Also, you have space on your lesson where you can take notes. Some of the things that might be new to you or stand out to you, you can take notes of that. So tonight we are looking at our first membership class, lesson number one. Our subject is the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That word triune means three in one. And so we believe that there is one God, but we believe that he has revealed himself to mankind in three separate and distinct personalities. Now, this one God that we believe in, we believe that he has some very strong characteristics, one of them being that he is eternal, meaning that he has no beginning and he has no end. He always was, he is, and he always will be. We believe that he has several words that we call the omnis of God. We believe that God is omniscient, which means he knows everything. There is nothing that God has to learn. He knows everything. We believe that he is omnipresent, which means that he is everywhere all the time. You can't find a place where God is not. We believe that he is omnipotent, which means he is all powerful. There is nothing that God cannot do. And so these are the characteristics of God, are some of the characteristics of God. In his triuneness, we believe that the first personality is the Father. When Moses was talking to God on the mountain, and God told him to go and tell Pharaoh that to let his people go, Moses asked God a question. He said, well, wait a minute. When I go and talk to the people, to your people, he said, they are going to ask, well, who is God? Who am I going to tell them? What is your name? And God answers in Exodus chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, God answers and he says, I am who I am. Or I am, in another version says, I am that I am. You see, back then and even today, many gods, the names that they bear, tells what they are God of. In many religions, they have many gods, and each one has a separate area that they are God of. Well, when Moses asked God, what is your name? He was asking basically, what are you God of? And God, in answering, said, I am who I am. In other words, whatever you need me to be, I am that. I am not just a limited God. I am whatever you need me to be, I am that. Amen. In the book of Exodus, chapter 2, if you will turn there. I'm sorry, Exodus chapter 6, verse 2. Once again, God here in talking to Moses. The scripture says, and God spoke to Moses and said to him, I am, and depending upon the version that you have, many of them say, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, Jehovah, I was not known to them. Now, that word, that name Jehovah, it's what we call a transliteration. In the Hebrew, you have four letters there, YHWH. Some pronounce it Yahweh, but it actually means he who is or the existing one. God said, they didn't know me as the God who is, the God who always was, is, and always will be. But he said, that is who I'm revealing myself to you, and I would have you to reveal me to the people as. And then in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus here, in talking to us about God, in teaching us how to pray, Jesus declares that we should pray to our Father in heaven. In verse 6, he says, but when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. So Jesus declares here that God is your Father. Okay? So that's a distinct personality of God, that he is the Father. And then again, he acknowledges God as Father. After his resurrection, he talks with Mary Magdalene in the book of John, chapter 20. And in verse 17, Jesus said to Mary, he said, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. And he says, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. So once again, Jesus here declares that God is Father. He is his Father. He is our Father. Okay? That making sense so far? All right. Then we have the second personality of the Godhead, which is the Son. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 9. In his prophesying about the coming one, when God would come and live among us, Isaiah declares, beginning at verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end." So we see here, it says that Jesus will be, that it says that a child is born and a son is given. Jesus is born as the child of Mary, but he is given as the Son of God. The world that he gave his only begotten Son. So we have two things here that distinctly point to Jesus, that he is a child, but more importantly, he is given as the Son of God. Does that make sense? Okay. In the book of John, chapter 1, beginning at verse 1, and this is one of my favorite passages in the entire Bible. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God," meaning in total harmony and agreement with God, "and the Word was God." You hear that? I was taught when I was a young boy, actually a teenager, I was taught by my coach in high school that a man is no better than his word. You are your word. Amen. He taught us that. I didn't know at that time that the Bible said that. He said the Word was with God in total harmony and agreement with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And then, where am I? Oh, okay. And then in verse 14, it said, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Now we just read, remember, they said the Word was with God and the Word was God. It says here, the Word became flesh. The Word became human, came in human form and dwelt among us. So if the Word was God and the Word became flesh, we know that Jesus is the one that became flesh and dwelt among us. So once again, that declares that Jesus was God, revealed to us as a man. In Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 5. This is another one of my favorites because it was the one that helped me to understand the Godhead back during a time when I struggled with it. And it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God," you hear that? Jesus, "who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." So you notice what it says in verse 5? Jesus was in the form of God, but he didn't see that as something that he had to hold on to. Why? Because we needed to be saved. So even though he was God, he emptied himself and came and lived among us as a man, the man Christ Jesus. And all that he did was to show us how we, as mankind, should conduct ourselves. In John 13 and 15, he said, I have given you an example. I have shown you how you, as mankind, ought to live. How you ought to worship God. How you ought to treat one another. And one part of that that seems to scare us more than anything else is the fact that Jesus declared, the works that I do, he that believes on me, you will do also. And even greater works than these you will do, because I go to the Father. He came as a man to show us the example of what the first Adam should have done and should have been like. All right, so we have the Father, who is declared to be God. We have the Son, who is declared to be God. And the third is the Holy Spirit. In the book of Luke, chapter 1. Do we have any questions so far? Anything? Okay.
We have a really smart group.
Yes.
We have an awesome teacher.
We have awesome teachers here.
The Holy Spirit is such. Speaking of the Holy Spirit, the third is the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 1, verse 35. This is when the angel had appeared to Mary concerning the virgin birth. Verse 35 said, then the angel, well, let's back up just a little bit. First off, Mary said to the angel, how can this be since I do not know a man? I have never been with a man. How can I have a child? And verse 35, and the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who will be born will be called the Son of God. Okay? So, here's the thing. If the Holy Spirit impregnates Mary, and the child that's born is called the Son of God, then it only stands to reason that the Holy Spirit must be God. Many references are made to the Holy Spirit that relate directly to God, you know, because, and there are those that declare that the Holy Spirit is just the power of God, or is just a force that God sends to do things. But if you really take time and read the scripture, you will find there are many scriptures that refer to the Holy Spirit that what they say refers directly to God also. Like, for instance, in the book of Acts, chapter 5, beginning at verse 3, and this is when people were selling their possessions and bringing what they made off of it and laying it at the apostles' feet for the work of the ministry. But here, beginning at verse 3, it says, let's start at verse 1. A certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession, and he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Now notice something. The question that he asked. Well, and let me explain this too, because a lot of people have misunderstood that part of scripture also. You see, many people were selling their possessions and giving everything that they got to the apostles for the work of the ministry. But when Ananias and his wife sold theirs, they kept back part of it. And it was their right to do that, just like whatever you have. You have a right as to what you give and what you keep for yourself. But they came pretending that this was what we sold it for, and we're giving it all to the work of the ministry. And Peter asked him, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to who? The Holy Spirit. And then he said at the end, you haven't lied to men, but you've lied to God. So the first thing he said, well, you lied to the Holy Spirit. Next thing, you've lied to God. Does it not stand to reason then that the Holy Spirit must be God and not just a force? Because how do you just lie to a force? A power? No, he lied that the Holy Spirit, when he, in lying to the Holy Spirit, he lied to God. And then also in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, the scripture says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Your body is the temple or the housing place of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in you. Okay? And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Yes, he likes to talk about these things in chapter 6 is when he writes to Corinth. Verse 16. The Apostle Paul says here, and what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now, the first letter that he wrote to them, he said, do you not know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? That he lives in you. And now he says, for you are the temple of the living God. So if you're the temple of the Holy Spirit, you're the temple of the living God, does it not stand to reason then that the Holy Spirit is God? Or are you getting kind of crowded in there? It stands to reason that the Holy Spirit is God. You're the temple, he says to them, the first letter he wrote to them, he said that you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. He writes to them again, reminding them about how they should be acting, the things that they should be doing and not doing. He said, you are the temple of the God, reminding them God lives in you. All right? So then, if you're the temple of both, then it stands to reason that the Holy Spirit must be God. We have the scripture says that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. So it's not just taking a verse and trying to make a doctrine out of it. We have three witnesses here, and there are more. But just for the sake of time, just making the point, by the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. So we see that the Father is God. We see that the Son is God. And we see that the Holy Spirit is God. All right? Now, but if we say a triune God, how do we know that there are not three separate gods then? Well, if we go back to the book of Genesis, the beginning, Chapter 1, In verse 26, talking about the unity, after God had created the heavens and the earth, all the plants and all the animals and all, then in verse 26, then God said, let us, see that word us? He said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God says, let us make man in our image. Interesting. Let us in our image. Okay, so God did that. How many men did he create?
One,
Adam. He said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, yet he created one man. That starts off interesting.
Yes.
Yet that man that he made, Adam, was a father because he later had children. He was a son of God, and he was a husband because he had a wife. He was a father, a son, and a husband. Three separate and distinct personalities. Just as I am a father, a son, and a husband. And my personality and my actions and attitude towards my parents was one of submission. That of my children was one of dominance. That with my wife as one equal all alongside. Three separate and distinct personalities and ways that I express myself, yet I'm only one person. The only difference is, remember, God is omnipresent.
Yes.
He can be all three at the same time. He can be the Father speaking from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son. He can be the Holy Spirit descending like a dove, and he can be the Son being baptized all at the same time and still be God, because he's not limited to time and space. See, if I'm going to be a son with my parents, I'm there at their house with them. But if my wife and children are not with me, I'm there specifically as a son, and they are missing me for the moment. If my wife and I go out on a date, then the children, they're missing us. Furthermore, I'm only being a husband at that point. I'm not going on a date with her being a father.
Amen.
Okay, and if I, yes it would. And if I go to one of my son's games or something like that, I'm being going as a father. I'm not going there as his, not even as his best friend. I'm going there as his father. So, just as God is one being with three separate and distinct personalities, and some of you have it, some of you, I say that as a man, but even as a lady, some of you have been a daughter, a mother, and a wife. Three separate and distinct personalities, but just one being. All right? In Deuteronomy 6:4, the scripture declares, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. All right? God keeps emphasizing over and over and over. He's not made up of many gods. This, his kingdom, the kingdom of God, is not like the religions of the world that have all these many gods. No. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Three separate and distinct manifestations of personality, but one God. And finally, in John chapter 14, beginning at verse 21. Jesus declares here, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest or reveal myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come and make our home with him. So notice what Jesus says. If you love me, keep my commandments, and my Father and I will come, and we will reveal ourselves to you. Not only that, we will dwell in you. Now, when Jesus left, he sent who? The Holy Spirit to dwell in us, representative of the Godhead, of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So by his presence in us, the Father and Jesus also are revealed to and live in us. Does that make sense? Okay, so he said, we will come, yet the Holy Spirit comes representing God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So hopefully this has given you, if you didn't have an understanding about the Godhead, the God that we serve here at New Life Family Ministries, if you did already know, it hopefully has given you a better understanding of it. And do we have any questions? Yes, ma'am.
I had a lot of stuff running just the whole time. I didn't read the scripture, though, but I'm thinking like of when Jesus said that when he went to the Father, that's when he would send the Spirit.
Yes.
And I kind of wondered, like, so is it the Father doesn't want to be alone? The Spirit can't come at the same time Jesus is here?
No, see, Jesus came as a man to die for our sins. Okay, he had completed that. So it was time for him to go back. But as a man, he was limited to time. He was limited to time and space. He emptied himself of his godliness. Remember we said that God is omnipresent. He can be everywhere at the same time. But because Jesus came solely as a man, he came exactly as the first Adam did. He was limited to time and space. The Holy Spirit is not. The Holy Spirit can be all over the world at the same time and in each and every one of us at the same time. So Jesus went, and when you say as far as the Father not being, I don't really know exactly how they have that set up there. Okay, but I heard a man say this years ago, and it really helped me so much, because I had been dealing with some Jesus-only people and some people with the Holy Spirit just being a force and all. But he said this. He said, look, I don't know exactly how God has this thing set up there. He said, but when I get there, if I see one being sitting on a throne that says, I am Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Or if I see three beings sitting on three thrones saying, I am Father, I am Son, I am Holy Spirit. He said, or if I see one being with three heads that say, I am God. He said, however he has that, it's worked throughout eternity. And it's going to be okay with me. However he has that set up, I'm good with it.
Yes, right.
Amen. So that's the thing. Why it is that, you know, you see one operating at a time, maybe that's all we can handle.
Yeah. Ooh, we
so, okay, I'm sorry. He had his hand up next.
I was going to say it's better to interpret as an egg. The egg has three, the outer.
Right. The yolk and the, yes. Mm-hmm. But it's just all the one egg. But it's got the three parts that make it up. Amen. That's a great example.
Well, yeah. It does say that Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father, mm-hmm. interceding
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So that's all I have to say.
Right. And that's what, and I'm saying on that, that's good however it's set up. However he has it, however it's done, I'm good with it. Okay? We'll understand it better by and by. Okay.
Also, the chair was saying is that we can only take so much at one time.
Yes.
So God had to do what he
yes.
did Israel first. Then he sent Jesus
mm-hmm.
to show us how to fulfill what
mm-hmm.
he was trying to tell Israel at the time. Show us step by step.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he had the 12 and then added on
mm-hmm.
a little at a time. And then sent
the Holy Spirit.
For all of us to fulfill those things.
Yes.
We've done all that at one time. Our minds would totally be blown.
That's a great probability. Amen.
For me, that's how it would have been. If
nope.
you gave me all that at one time, I'd be blown away.
We are okay. limited beings and have limited capacity to understand.
But we have all eternity to learn it. That's the good part. All right. Anyone else? Yes. Oh, okay. Any? Yes, ma'am.
I just thought a few times when I'm praying, sometimes I feel I'm praying, well, I know I'm praying more to Father.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Not as much Holy Spirit, seems like. And lately I've been talking a lot to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's an internal, there's an issue in here.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like I feel like, does the Father feel like I'm here? I am focused on Jesus, and the Father, and he assured me, uh-uh.
Exactly. Thank you. Thank you.
Oneness.
Yes. Yeah, they are not, I do not believe that they're sitting there competing. That's mine. Uh-huh. But that one we're baptized in my name, you know, that kind of thing. No. And because prayer is actually communication. And we can communicate with the Father, we can communicate with the Son, and we can communicate with the Holy Spirit. And you see it happening throughout the book of Acts. Of course, sometimes they're speaking to the Father. Sometimes Paul speaking directly to the Lord Jesus and them praying to the Holy Spirit, asking what, and the Holy Spirit speaking to them, telling them what to do. So it's not a thing where they're in competition. But Jesus told, he did tell us, you know, most of our prayer is supposed to be directed to the Father. But there are definitely things that I have to, that when I go and I tell Jesus, I know, you know what this feels like because you walked as a man. So you know what this feels like. And I'm petitioning you on this. And there are things with the Holy Spirit. I ask, well, why so and so and so and how? Or how? Because he has come as the teacher, the counselor. So, yes.
I was going to ask a question. I pray and I speak with God all day long. Now, to interpret things that go, I'm speaking with God, even not out loud, but I'm speaking
mm-hmm.
to him,
mm-hmm.
talking to him, because I don't want anything negative or anything perverse in my life. I mean, they've done something in me. But how do you know if, okay, Tim, are you talking to yourself or God, is this you? That's what with the Holy Spirit or...
You mean as far as what you think you're hearing back? Okay, how do you know?
Line up with the word.
Yeah, how do you know? When I learn or when you learn that, let me know. Okay? Because I pray, and in fact, Pastor Roy was just saying, telling us, I think it was today, earlier today, about how he had been seeking God for something for about 3 days before he actually got what he knew was an answer from God. And there are many times that I pray about stuff, and I'm waiting to hear God say, and I tell the Lord, you can use whoever you want to affirm or confirm this, and I'm waiting to hear something from Kim, or I'm waiting to hear something, waiting for Pastor Roy to get up in a message and give it out. I don't always know.
Can I say one thing?
Okay.
I cross up, come to church, and you guys are like on, I mean, together. I mean, all the pastors are the same thing that they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Not just, I mean, earlier about COVID and all that, but they'd be spot on what God has put on my heart.
Okay. And that's what we pray for.
The song we play and like I'm coming.
Yes.
Praise it and it'd be.
Yes. And when we pray and really seek God from the heart, he does that. And that's what we pray, to be his vessels that he can use us. That, Lord, whatever the needs of your people are, I present myself as your vessel. Use me to speak to that. That's how we pray. Amen. All right. Anyone else? Yes.
I'm just thinking about your description of like when you're with Kim on a day, mm-hmm. you're not the father, you're not the... Yeah, and yet you do not cease to be the father.
Right, exactly.
I call you on the phone during the day, and you would all of a sudden.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's a mystery.
Yes, but that's God said, "Let us make man in our image." So He made us with the ability to do that because He can do that, mm-hmm. but even to a greater measure. Yes. Amen. Okay. Anyone else? All right. Well, this has been a great thing. Okay.
I was going to say, just like when I was coming to church Sunday,
mm-hmm.
God put on my heart about my sister, something to pray for Kim.
Mm-hmm.
I knew something wasn't right. I put it on my heart to pray for Carolyn.
Mm-hmm.
And Carolyn ended up in
the hospital. Mm-hmm.
God is just
mad. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Amen. Amen. Professor Roy, anything else? Anything you got?
Why is it important that we understand who God is and how he functions?
Anybody want to take a stab at that? Why is it important that we know who God is and how he functions? Yes.
So we can have a better relationship with him, so we can have a real relationship?
That would be my answer. Is that, that's a part of my answer. Okay, Kim?
If he's our father, then if we know him, and to understand him, and to learn how to live the way he wants us to live.
Yes.
A real relationship mm-hmm. with him. Not just the man upstairs.
Yeah, upstairs. Amen.
Really a true and honest relationship
as, going to him as our father. Mm-hmm. The things are going good or bad,
we
know he loves us and cares for us, and he's
always available to us, and we should always
be
able to know that.
Okay. That's
to me
two-thirds of it. Okay, yes.
Well, we know our identity, who we are.
That is extremely important. Yeah. So you know who you are. Mm-hmm. Did they get the everything that you wanted in that?
I think one of the other key things is Satan is the deceiver.
Yes, exactly.
Trying to duplicate
yes.
something that is negative, that is the opposite. Mm-hmm. He made many gods.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't understand who God is and how he's operating.
Right.
You're going to be deceived by the deceiver.
Exactly. That was the other part that I was, yes. Mm-hmm.
You've got to recognize it.
Yes.
Recognize it.
Yep. You ever notice how with children, little children, that even though they might know who their parents are, somebody else comes along and act like, hey, your mama told me to bring you to her. And if they don't know, then they can be led astray by someone else. But that's the exact same thing that can happen. If we don't really know God and know about God, then we can be led astray by the enemy. So that's one of the main reasons for this foundations class. Once again, things that are going to be happening possibly in the very near future, you're going to need a good, solid foundation.
Amen.
Yes.
Pastor,
Exactly. I say the same thing. If it doesn't line up with the word, and many times, if it's something that seems way out, I need two or three witnesses. I don't need just one scripture. I need at least two or three verses to bear witness to that. All right. So next week, we will be looking at the inspiration of the Word of God. How about that? The fact that the Bible is inspired by God. Okay. Yeah. All right.
I think, by the way, there's one other aspect that's so important that we understand.